In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
There was a kid who went to his mother and said, "Mom, if God is real, why can't we see him?" And she says, "I'm busy now. Go ask your father." And he says, "Dad, how come if God is real, we can't see him?" And he says, "Go ask your mother. I'm busy." So the kid is going fishing with Grandpa. One of these beautiful, cool mornings. Oh, and the lake is like glass. He says, "Grandpa, if God is real, how come we can't see him?" And the old man, he looks away. And the kid thinks, "Yeah, Grandpa's blowing me off too." Well, then he looks at the kid after a couple of minutes and he says, "Junior, at this point in my life, God is pretty much all I can see. You see, as we grow in grace, God becomes only more beautiful. And things we thought were important or special or desirable, be they wealth or fame, they become much less important. So he moves us from grace unto grace. But at any point in that chain, I can say, no, I prefer the world. And we're great fools if we do so."
Father Simon Says
on Relevant Radio.
Noelle Mehring, she wrote a book called Awake, Not Woke, a Christian response to the cult of this progressive ideology that's infecting our country.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think we have to distinguish is the church is a human institution, but it's also a divine institution. The truth is also in the sacramental life of the church.
Yeah.
Staying close to the sacraments is how we have truth in our hearts, that through the confession, through knowing ourselves, and through growing closer to Christ. But the only way that this transformation of the church and society is going to come is through faithful Catholics living the fullness of the faith as closely as they possibly can. So while it's utterly discouraging to see corruption in the church has been a target of this movement for a long time, as was the family. So there's going to be corruption, but there's also excellent, beautiful, amazing, holy shepherds as well. I think we have to be warriors, but happy warriors. You know, we have to fight this fight and be courageous, but also have hope.
The Drew Mariani Show.
The latest news and the issues of the day through the eyes of our faith.
2 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew Mariani and taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Just want to remind you that the live Chapel of Divine Mercy will return, I believe, on Tuesday. I'll be filling in for Drew on Monday, but I believe Drew is back on Tuesday. And then we will have the live Chapel of Divine Mercy. We know that you're praying for us. We're praying for you as well. We really appreciate your prayers and all of your support, especially in this Lenten season. That brings us to Father Rocky's Lenten Reflections, which has just been marvelous. And joining us is Maggie, our engineer here, to talk a little bit about this. The reflection today is on the tabernacle. And, you know, these are the elements of the Mass that sometimes we just don't necessarily think too much about. I mean, we know that there's a tabernacle. We know that, you know, the presence of Christ is in there, but we just don't think through what that means. And Father Rocky very gently today goes through the whole process in this. It's about a 5-minute, I believe, a little less than 5 minutes, reflection at relevantradio.com. And, Maggie, I mean, these are one of the things that I find really fascinating about any kind of study of our faith, right? And especially of our liturgy. The liturgy, I think, is just a marvelous, just almost an endless resource of insight into the faith, into Scripture. And the tabernacle is one of those is one of those components that I think we just there's so much richness there that we don't think about it.
Oh, that's so true. You know, people always say that beauty draws people in to want to know more about something.
Right.
And that's definitely the case. And I really commend our crew that has made these videos because they are beautiful. They're really well done. They're simple. And I found myself really enjoying them. I don't have children, but I was like, gosh, if I had kids, I would totally watch these every day with them. I grew up in public schooling my whole life. So I think there's maybe a lot of terms and things that people get taught when they do go through Catholic schooling that I never really knew or, you know, what the purpose of something was. So it's like getting a little in-depth glimpse behind the scenes with the priest, with Father Rocky. And he's so sweet about everything. He'll, you know, spell words out for you and tell you the history of it. So, I really enjoyed it.
I'm enjoying them tremendously. We should probably remind people how to access these or how to sign up for them. They're available through the relevantradio.com website.
Mm-hmm.
The videos are on Vimeo, but the links are at relevantradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a sign up that people can go to get a daily reminder of these?
Yes, there is. Actually, I don't have it in front of me.
See, there you go. Neither do I, but I know it's there. It's on relevantradio.com.
It is on the app, too.
Everything's at relevant. It's on the app.
Yes.
Everything's through relevantradio.com. Sorry about that, Maggie, but...
That's okay. We're human, right?
we are all human. And actually, if you go to relevantradio.com, you'll see today's lesson is right up on the front page there. You just scroll down just a little bit and say Lesson 3, the Tabernacle. That is today's Lenten reflection, and that's where you can go to. And actually, yesterday's is still up on the front page as well, Lesson 2, Genuflection. And you talk about discovering all these things. A few years ago, I got a book called Symbols That Surround Us, which are faithful reflections on the Catholic Mass, Catholic Church, and Johann von Paris is the one who wrote it. And and I have to tell you, I mean, I'm like you. I didn't grow up in a Catholic school milieu, right? I mean, I was sort of a revert, sort of a soft revert, let's just say. I was never not a Catholic, but I just didn't practice
from
about the time I was, you know, 9 or 10 years old to about my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed out on all of these explanations. So I just say, well, the priest is wearing these garments. I don't know what they are. I don't know what the term is. And every once in a while, somebody would throw a term out, and I would just kind of stare blankly at them and try not to reveal the fact that I didn't know what they were, right? And I think there's a ton of us who go through this process.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not alone on this. And of course, this is over, you know, this is, you know, a few decades ago when I was going through this. But this book was very helpful, Symbols That Surround Us, because it gave me sort of the lingo, right? So I knew what the nomenclature was. I could talk about things in the Mass and use the proper terms.
Sure.
And I think that naming things properly is part of understanding, because I think you're lost. I think it's like going someplace without a map.
And sure.
For those of you who didn't grow up in the GPS era, there was a time when we climb into our cars, Maggie, and say, okay, I've got to go over to this
address.
I have
landmarks that I need to look for.
Right. Yeah. And so you say, okay, well, you take the freeway to this off-ramp, you make three lefts, two rights,
right.
and a U-turn, and and somehow you'd end up 40 miles away.
Exactly.
This is the roadmap. These are having this type of information that we're getting in the Lenten reflections here from Father Rocky is a roadmap of sorts. It helps us. It helps ground us
for sure.
In understanding what's going on at Mass.
You know, I think just to bring it back to what you were saying earlier too about the richness of the Mass, it's almost endless. If you know, paid attention to all these tiny details, it takes you so deep into the theology of why we do everything. It's almost that like golden ratio that
yes.
it will continuously, even the more detailed you get, the more a whole new world opens up about the richness and the beauty of the faith. So I really commend Father Rocky for his insights and for coming up with these sweet videos. I'm enjoying watching it as an adult. I'm learning a lot of things I think I probably should have known earlier somehow, but whatever.
Exactly. Well, I mean, same here, right? I mean, I'm somewhat north of 35. And I think that at this point in my life, I should probably already know all these things.
Sure.
But I'm learning something every day from Father Rocky.
Today, I was like, oh, what is this little jar of water that he's taking out from beside the tabernacle? And he said, this is called a piscina, which means pool. And I was like, what? I didn't know that was there.
I knew it was there, right? Because there was one ill-fated attempt to be an altar server in my life as an adult. And so it didn't work out well. No. I had this whole discussion with the priest. It was really when I first started going back to church, and I was talking to the priest, and he says, oh, we don't have an altar server. How about you do it? And I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. He says, well, you're Catholic. You'll know what.
You'll figure it out.
No, it was.
Oh, no.
It was. He was very gentle about it, and it wasn't horrible. It wasn't like some sort of traumatic experience. But let's just say that it wasn't my calling.
And then he never asked you to do it again.
He never did ask me again. Nobody has ever asked me again, strangely enough. But now, now I feel like I know it's a piscina, and I know what it means. I know what it's used for. Mm-hmm. I know what the tabernacle, the components of the tabernacle are, what they mean, what they're theological. I mean, you can glean some theological content from this. He also makes some theological content explicit in this. Mm-hmm. For 4 minutes and 40 seconds, it's just really packed with this type of information. And that's the type of thing, I think, when you're feeling a little inadequate in terms of knowledge of the church, I think it's this type of thing that really brings you in, makes you feel closer to everyone else and to what this is. And of course, everybody who's in church is a member of the church. We're all members of the church. And all you need to do is love Christ and love God and love your neighbor as yourselves. And you're already, 99% of the way there, right? But it does make you feel more in tune, I think, with your faith, mm-hmm. When you understand all the elements that are around you, so that you're not feeling like you're surrounded by some sort of unfamiliar setting and feel intimidated by it. I mean,
sure.
It's very easy to feel intimidated by this in a Catholic Mass.
Yeah, absolutely. As you're saying that, it made me think of, I remember in school, when I was back in college, sometimes you would meet someone in a class, and then all of a sudden, you noticed that person then everywhere on campus. You'd never seen this person before in your life. And then all of a sudden, because you knew their face, then all of a sudden you were seeing them everywhere. So it's kind of the same thing. Like now you know what this term is. Now you know what this symbol is, and you're going to see it everywhere then in Mass.
Well, I think when you watch this video, as with the previous video, Lenten reflections, I'll just use the piscina as an example. You are going to notice that piscina. And every single time you notice it, you're going to say, now I know what that's about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a great way of engaging. And the other thing I want to say about the Father Rocky's reflections in general, this is, I think, a really interesting way to explore the faith as part of your Lenten observance. Because most Lenten observances are really about repentance. It's really about atoning for your sins.
Sure.
I mean, we spend 6 weeks atoning for our sins before Easter. That's what we should be doing. But I think that when people are looking at Lent and they're looking at what I'm going to do for Lent, it's all about I'm going to give up something that will remind me every day that I'm giving up something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I gave up sugar-free chocolate, for instance, just because I usually have a little bit of it every day as a type 2 diabetic, I don't have a lot of other options for for fun little snacky things. So I'm going to give those up for Lent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just sort of a material good that you're giving up as, and it's a legit sacrifice, but it isn't necessarily
a
growth opportunity, or if it is, it's an indirect growth opportunity. What Father Rocky is providing with these Lenten lessons is a real growth opportunity as part of your journey through the 6 weeks of Lent. Well, and I think I really appreciate that type of outreach.
Well, and one of the main pillars of Lent is prayer, and the Mass is the ultimate prayer.
It is
the ultimate form of worship. So the more you can be engaged with that, the more you can live your faith that way, I think you're going to come out better once Easter has arrived.
Well, I would say this too, and this is something I think that a lot of people have know at a certain level, but aren't really conscious of at the full level, which is that the liturgy of the Mass is something we all do together, right? I think there's this idea that we go to Mass, and the people who sing, and the people who read, and the priest does all the work at the altar, and the deacons and the the altar servers, except for me, because of course nobody's ever going to pick me as an altar server again, as we all know now. But liturgy is something we all do together.
Yeah,
and
the body of Christ.
We are the body of Christ, and that Mass requires all of us. This is a reflection of the bride and the bridegroom coming together in unity. This is what the Mass is about. And so it is really about all of us, and we are all participating in the Mass. And so the more we know about the Mass, the more we understand the symbols and the tools that we use in that effort, the more we can all participate in that liturgy, the closer we come to God. And that is a great, great Lenten exercise to go through.
Amen.
All right, Maggie. Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the next Lenten reflection. And again, you can go to relevantradio.com. You can just click on it right from the main page. It'll be right there on the main page. So be sure to do that. And so when we come back, we're going to talk more about Ukraine. We're going to talk about it in a little bit more personal terms. We're also going to talk about chaliceofmercy.org, which is a charity that is working for the benefit of the Ukrainian people, in part. And so we'll talk more about that when we come back. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew. Stay tuned.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Thank you. I can't believe I got one.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
888-914-9149.
It's 32 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today, taking your calls at 888-914-9149. We have been following very closely all of the events in Ukraine, the invasion, the war, the targeting of civilian centers by the invading Russians. It's a tragedy. It's much worse than a tragedy, but it's a tragedy on a scale that we just haven't seen in Europe in decades. And to talk more about that in terms of more of a personal perspective, Valentina Pavsiukova is a native of Ukraine. In fact, she comes from the city of Zaporizhia, which is the home of the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, which was attacked and seized overnight and is currently under Russian control. She has worked for many years to bring relief of the suffering in her homeland through a multifaceted outreach she started called Chalice of Mercy, which you can find online at chaliceofmercy.org. Valentina, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. I appreciate to giving me time to speak about this very important event that are happening that concerns not only Ukraine, but I believe the whole world.
Well, it certainly did. I mean, and Valentina, first off, of course, our hearts are breaking for all of your friends and family and your country people in Ukraine as they're going through this terrible, devastating invasion. This is actually sort of an extension of, it's really 8 years of war. This is just an acceleration or a escalation, I guess we could say, a massive escalation. But Ukraine has been in a war really for at least 8 years now, right?
Yes, correct. And so this is not a new war. This already, as you have mentioned, been going on for 8 years. And the suffering of Ukrainian people has been all these years so much. And as a Chalice of Mercy team, we have helped for several years, particularly people who live near Donetsk and Lugansk. These are the villages that belong to Ukrainian territories, but very much at the front line. And so we were delivering medical help and providing free surgeries, providing medical care to these people because the suffering was just really tremendous. And there's people who lived on these territories and still actually till this day remain on territories incapable of escaping as refugees. So it's elder, primarily those that just can't move easily. So this been part of our care for many years. So we were really, really close to the hearts of my people there, you know, in this regard. But what happened now, just today's date, 8th, of this horrible invasion, horrible crime and genocide of Ukrainian people that is happening right now in my country, Ukraine. And, as nobody could imagine anything like this at this type of level. We were hearing all the time in the news that it's just escalation and maybe sanctions will help. Maybe there's going to be something could diplomatically decided, this matter with Vladimir Putin. But as we know now, and now the whole world knows, as Ukrainians knew and our current government knew this really well, this was just to wait for the moment when Vladimir Putin can attack in a massive way. Right. So he was there, bited off a little bit of Ukraine and continued to just wait for the moment to march in the way how he already decided and according to his prognosis,
Right.
And, so this is complete disaster because Ukrainian people are free people from Soviet Union already since 1991. And we always wanted to have our restoration of our culture, of our language, of everything that Ukrainians are. But there was still seems like a silk thread. And it depends on a government of over all of these 30 years, it was more or less. But since Vladimir Putin was in office as a president, Ukrainian government was really much pro-Russian in 2013, especially we have seen this. That's exactly what people protested against. Because when President Yanukovych was supposed to sign
I think we might have lost Valentina Pavsyukova. So while we're trying to get her back, I want to just talk a little bit about what's going on in Zaporizhia, which is the city that she's from. If you haven't heard this already, I'm sure most people have already heard this. Zaporizhia is the site of the largest nuclear reactor in Europe. It has six reactors. Actually, I should say a nuclear reactor complex. It has six different reactors in this facility. It's larger than Chernobyl, which is in north of the country. Zaporizhia is in the southeastern part of Ukraine, and Russian troops shelled it and attacked it starting yesterday, and seized the campus according to our time here in the United States early this morning. And there's been mines placed around the nuclear reactor complex, reportedly, and the people who are operating it are operating at gunpoint. Valentina is back with us, Valentina Pavsyukova.
Yes.
And sorry about the technical difficulty there, Valentina, but I was bringing people up to speed as to what's going on right now in Zaporizhia, which is where you're originally from, I believe, right?
Yes, it's my city, and in fact, you have mentioned the city which the whole world was very, very much become aware of with the name Energodar. That's where we have our nuclear power plant, and it's much larger than the one that we have in Chernobyl.
Yep.
And,
much larger, yes.
It's a very dangerous game right now that Russian troops are playing and trying to, let's say, keep everyone in fear, not only Ukraine now, but the whole world. And so right now the fire that was started in one of the sarcophags has been extinguished, and they tried to, so the old sarcophagus was turned off, but there's a lot of complications will be. So, and if anything will happen to Energodar nuclear power plant, this will be a global catastrophe.
Right. I mean, this is the first time that anybody's actually, the first time in history that a military has shelled a nuclear reactor, I think either accidentally or on purpose. This is clearly on purpose. They're hoping to seize this. It's the first time in history anybody's ever done this. I mean, this is extremely scary. This is the type of, a type of disaster which could make wide swaths of the Caucasus and Europe uninhabitable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so, but they don't spare anyone right now. As probably people see on the news, hospitals, daycares, schools, just houses, little poor houses of elder people are just being mercilessly bombarded, intentionally bombarded. And this city, Kharkov, right now is just almost in complete ruins, the one of the most beautiful cities in Ukraine, Kherson as well. You know, so Kyiv is being bombarded without mercy. All the things that we knew and we loved so much, the streets we walked on, the memories we had, you know, this right now has been destroyed. In fact, even churches, historical churches, have been already bombarded as well. You know, so there is no remorse. There is just seems the heart is being shut off. And it's really frightening because in this condition, nuclear power plant or anything else, you know, what is it? What would that mean then of just continue to play this game and make the whole world to shake and basically just to possibly just only hope that Vladimir Putin will not do anything worse. You know, that's exactly
right.
What he wants. This is exactly what he wants. He wants everybody to basically kneel down. He desires to be praised, and he desires his grandiosity to be known. The way how he acts is absolutely, I think that any person who have understanding of what is happening would say that this person is sane. You know, it's not possible.
Right. You know, Valentina, we're speaking with Valentina Pavsyukova and taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I know that you know, you're in close touch with people who are in that region, in that area. What are they telling you about what's happening on the ground there? What are what are they seeing? Are the impacts, and is there any opportunity for some of them still to get away from the fighting, or is it just too encompassing now and they're stuck?
Yes. So Ukraine is a very large country. It's almost 44 million country, and Zaporizhia, the city where I'm from, is about 1,000 kilometers to Lviv, and from Lviv, majority of people who are trying to right now escape as refugees, they have to arrive to Lviv first. And then from there, they can cross European countries. For the most part, is Poland. Poland has been absolutely, I just want to anybody who is Polish and listening right now, this interview, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and my whole entire being for helping my people. To give them shelter, food, and all necessity that is needed, from the tiniest baby to the most elder person. I want to really express my gratitude. So yes, we are working every single day. I receive tons of messages. Please help me to escape. And this is the most. I have to say that for me, the realization came even stronger. That kind of made my heart to completely shiver when my friends start texting me and say, please help to evacuate my children. And that when that sink in even deeper. And the first thinking, like, how in the world going to do this, you know, but thankfully to God, there is a still evacuation train is able to arrive to Zaporizhia. And so whoever is able to arrive to the train station, the train take people to Lviv. And it's with a lot of stops and sometimes even trying to go, people exit the train, they try to hide in a safe underground kind of buildings, you know, and so they try to very hard to basically arrive to Lviv, no matter what the cost. But it's in danger because, as you probably heard, that there was a train station in Kyiv was bombarded,
right?
And there's several buses with people who were trying to run away. They have been just shot with the shotguns, you know, and so that's the worst because there's no corridor, safe corridor for people to exit, at least women and children. And our soldiers are just in, you know, shouting, please come and fight us. Don't kill our women and children, you know, but they try to do it in the most horrible way of shooting the most innocent and weak, you know.
Right.
And so it's horrible, absolutely. And so my family is in Zaporizhia. My uncle, my cousin is standing in the, right there defending a particular territory. And so the night and day in cold and snow and rain, they're there. You know, this man just so brave and amazing standing. And so many men who are just not military. You know, right now we're organizing humanitarian aid, and I just want to say that so many people ask me, does the military in Ukraine don't have enough equipment? Yes, you know, military gear, I guess, that's what I'm particularly talking about. Yes, there is, but there's not enough for all men who are in Ukraine right now to equip them with necessary things, you know. And so this is essential. Right now we're trying to collect hunting gear, you know, and shipping. We are preparing a very big container of humanitarian aid, of starting like medical, surgical, medical field medicine for babies, for soldiers, you know, all the necessary stuff they are asking.
Right.
But so, again, going back to the question, as you asked me about what my people say, I have constantly phone calls and messages that people, some are really filled with so much anxiety that is really even hard to talk. You know, right. My friends, they just, they do not know when I guess understanding that we do not know when it will stop, just catches up. And probably as we see, this could be only the beginning. That's the worst.
Right. Right. I mean, so, and again, you know, this, the Valentina, we're going to take a quick break. Valentina Pavsyukova is our guest at the moment, talking about what's going on in Ukraine. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that, plus talk about her charity, Chalice of Mercy, chaliceofmercy.org, and find out how you can help. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew. We'll be right back.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's 51 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today, and we are speaking with Valentina Pavsyukova of ChaliceofMercy.org about what's going on in Ukraine, what's especially going on in Zaporizhia, where the nuclear power plant was seized by Russian troops earlier today. Valentina, first I want to take a really quick call from Dee Dee in Phoenix, Arizona, who has a message for you. Dee Dee, thanks so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. This call or question is for Valentina. Valentina, I'm a retired elementary school teacher here in Phoenix, Arizona. Valentina, how can we help you? The people in Phoenix, Arizona, how can we help you, especially the children?
Yes. So right now we are organizing, so I'm from Wisconsin, no, and we are organizing in every single parish that belongs to our diocese. We basically organize a list of needs, and parishes are just collecting these items. And then they bring this to the deaneries, and then to a particular, we choose like one school, and everything is being brought there. And after that, we will repackage, and we will just shipping to Ukraine. So this is something that we have started here. Maybe something like that could be also done in your diocese, if possible, or maybe just in your school. And if you contact me through our website, there's information and my email address. And I can help you to understand further how we can really get this happen.
Yeah, Valentina, and first off, Dee Dee, thank you so much for your phone call, because that's exactly what I wanted to spend the rest of the time that we have here with Valentina Pavsyukova from ChaliceofMercy.org. You know, there's a lot of people in the United States who have Ukrainian heritage. You know, my great grandparents or my great great grandparents actually came from Lviv.
Wow.
Long time ago. I mean, this is, you know, okay. Very, very much disconnected from me. But you know, there's a lot of that. And I think that there are a lot of people in the United States who are very, very sympathetic and want to find ways to help. And you know, certainly there are people who want to help out the brave Ukrainian men and women who are resisting the invasion. But I think that a lot of people are very interested in making sure that they're also trying to help out the victims of war, just the women and children, the families who are being displaced, who are being attacked. And ChaliceofMercy.org is a good starting place, I would imagine, for that type of assistance.
Yes, and especially, you know, right now people have been so amazing in America. We've been receiving donations from all over, and they're essential for us, even like financial, because we have to pay for shipments, and some things cannot be donated, unfortunately, like what we collect for the hospital, like a surgery, military hospitals, some things we need to purchase. So donations, financial donations, give us opportunity to buy things that cannot be donated. And then, you know, as I mentioned, we need to still pay for shipment and just the logistics. So the best way to help us, it is, if possible, to donate through our website. And we guarantee that every single dollar right now is going straight to Ukraine. So that would be, and soon we're going to post the list of things, that the items that we will be collecting in our diocese particularly. But let's say there's another diocese in some state would like to do the same, then we can just communicate further. They can reach out to me through my email and or through the phone call, that which are all are in our website.
And it's important to remember that Chalice of Mercy is a Catholic mission to Ukraine. I mean, so this is done through the close collaboration, as you say on your website, with the Catholic Kharkivsko-Zaporizhzhia Diocese. So this
Absolutely.
Is something that is under the supervision of the Catholic Church in that local area. So that certainly will make people feel even more comfortable with chaliceofmercy.org. And so dollar donations certainly... and maybe arranging other types of, you know, goods donations that can be sent through local parishes is a great idea. You mentioned that, and Deegee in Phoenix mentioned that as well.
Yes, absolutely. I can definitely give directions how we have already organized to do this, so it will be easy for people and well understood how they can make those collections and ship them to Ukraine. So that I'm happy to communicate, you know, how that could be done. And also, you know, yes, you have mentioned we are Catholic, and we are very much deeply understand how the mission must be deepened with the understanding of the sacraments. Chalice of Mercy has been existing for 15 years, and all of these 15 years, our main focus was whoever we were serving, either we're working with a medical team, or for many years, for 10 years, I have been organizing pilgrimages to Medjugorje for Ukrainian gynecology doctors, those that were performing abortions in Ukraine. So it's been more than 1,500 doctors that have traveled on a pilgrimage, those who have performed abortions, and those who have converted. Many doctors have converted, you know, So everything we do, it has the reason why we do this is to help people to understand the sacraments, especially, of course, confession and the Eucharist, and how important it is to dive in, basically, into the heart of Jesus through his very body, through his very blood. And another thing that I really want to mention is that since 2013, the rosary has become a symbol of Ukraine. And it's really strange because Ukraine is primarily as a Orthodox country.
Right.
So it's not well aware of what rosary is. Maybe like Jesus prayer, yes, but not the rosary. But what happened is that when the revolution started in Ukraine in 2013, when people just said, this is enough for Russian government, we want completely freedom. Ukrainians really wanted to belong to EU. Yanukovych had not signed this document that we would be included in EU, and that's why Revolution of Dignity started. So it's been going on for several months, since November to February, until our men went to fight front line was created.
Valentina, unfortunately, we're out of time. Valentina Pavsyukova, go to chaliceofmercy.org, chaliceofmercy.org. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew. We'll be right back.